So we're in Mark chapter 8. We're going to read verses 1 through 21. In those days when, again, a great crowd had gathered and they had nothing to eat, he called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. And some of them have come from far away. And his disciples answered him, how can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place? And he asked them, how many loaves do you have? They said, 7. And he directed the crowd to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And they set them before the crowd. And they had a few small fish. And having blessed them, he said that these also should be set before them. And they ate and were satisfied. And they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full. And there were about 4,000 people. And he sent them away and immediately got into the boat with his disciples and went to the district of Dalmanutha. The Pharisees came and began to argue with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why does this generation seek a sign? Truly I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation. And he left them, got into the boat again, and went to the other side. Now they had forgotten to bring bread, and they had only 1 loaf with them in the boat. And he cautioned them, saying, watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? They said to him, 12. And the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? And they said to him, 7. And he said to them, do you not yet understand? Let's pray. Father, help us to understand who Jesus is and where our faith and trust needs to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we'll go back to this whole passage that we've read and kind of track through it. So back to Mark 6, verse 31. The apostles had been out on a missions trip. They come back. They're exhausted. Jesus recognizes that and says we need to rest. Our bodies, our minds, our emotions need time and space to recharge. That's why God gave us a weekly Sabbath, a day of rest. And so they head for a desolate place, a place where they can be alone and rest. Problem is the crowds hear about it. And they run and get there before them. So when they arrive at the desolate place, there's great crowds there already. They've come for rest, relaxation, refreshment. But here is a great crowd come to see Jesus, come to learn from Jesus, come to be healed by Jesus. And so for Jesus, people's needs often trump his own needs. And he says, I must serve. Jesus saw them, had compassion upon them, and love moved him to sacrifice his own personal needs for them. Well, the disciples are aware of what's going on. He teaches them. It grows late. And the disciples identified the fact that they would need to feed all of these people. But they had no resources, no ability. And so they said to Jesus, send them away so that they can eat. And Jesus' response is interesting, isn't it? Verse 37, but he answered them, "You give them something to eat." Now, Jesus full well knew the impossibility of them being able to feed this crowd. Why is Jesus saying that? He says, "You saw the need. Now you take responsibility for meeting that need." Why did Jesus challenge them with such an impossible challenge? Well, it was to teach them of his power. The disciples react and say, "We can't do it." You're right. Jesus wanted them to be very clear on their inability so that when he unleashes his power, they would believe. Jesus follows up and says, "How many loaves do you have? Take inventory." So they go around, check it all out. They end up with a little boy who brought a lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus blesses this food. This is a lunch for one boy, so these were small loaves. Mama gave him just enough. 5 small loaves, 2 fish. So Jesus breaks the loaves and gives them to the disciples, and breaks the loaves and gives them to the disciples, and breaks the loaves and gives them to the disciples. The disciples go out to one sector of the crowd and feed all those people, and Jesus breaks the loaves and gives them to the disciples. And where are all these loaves coming from? And endless, it does not stop. And they feed the entire crowd. There's 5,000 of them. And they eat. And they were satisfied. My daughter-in-law tells her little kids when they're done eating, "So are you done eating?" Because she doesn't want to come back later and ask for dessert. Kids would never do that. And she says, "Are you done eating? Is your tummy fully satisfied?" And these people, their tummies were fully satisfied because there's leftovers all over the place. And they go around with big old baskets and they gather up the leftovers and they have 12 baskets full of leftovers. That was a miracle. They ended up with far more than they began with. And in the meantime, between those two time points, they fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Well, immediately after this, he has his disciples get in the boat, cross over the Sea of Galilee. He dismisses the crowd. He goes up to the mountain to pray. Later that evening, he comes out to cross the sea on foot, walking on the water. As Jesus nears the boat, the disciples see him walking on the water and were terrified, thinking he is a ghost. And Jesus kindly says, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And so he gets into the boat. And as soon as he gets in the boat, this windstorm stops. It had been a terrific windstorm. It had been blowing all night. It was whipping up the waves. It was against them, and so they could barely make any progress getting across the Sea of Galilee. But when Jesus gets in the boat, it all stops. And it says that his disciples were utterly astounded, verse 51. And then it goes on, and it says this curious statement. They were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves. That's why they were utterly astounded when Jesus gets into the boat and the storm stops dead still. And this is why they should not have been so greatly surprised, because they did not understand about the loaves. Why? Because understanding about the loaves is really understanding about Jesus, who Jesus really is. So what did this incident of the loaves clearly demonstrate? Simple. Jesus' power. Jesus' ability is not limited by natural laws. Now, what is logically impossible for man to feed 5,000 with five little loaves and to end up with more than you started with. What is clearly impossible for man is not impossible for Jesus, simply because Jesus is not a man. He is a man, and he is the Son of God. He is God himself. And the Jesus who can miraculously multiply food supplies can also miraculously quiet windstorms, for natural laws are subject to the Creator, to the Son of God. Now, today, if you stagger to believe miracles, that is because you are forgetting, because you do not understand who you are dealing with. It is Jesus, the Son of God. And that is why understanding about the loaves should have led them not to be surprised that Jesus could subdue the winds. Chapter 8, verse 1. In those days when again a great crowd had gathered and they had nothing to eat. Here we go again. Another great crowd with nothing to eat. Deja vu. We've seen this movie before. This time, Jesus identifies their need rather than the disciples. He called his disciples and said, I have compassion on the crowd. They've been with me for 3 days. They have nothing to eat. And he says, we need to feed them. And the disciples answer, and this is revealing, verse 4, how can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place? How can? The word of ability. How can we do this? This is impossible. But Jesus had already done this miracle in recent history with 5,000. Problem with the disciples? Psalm 106:13, but they soon forgot his works. Or Psalm 106:21, they forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things. But Jesus doesn't respond to their question. Instead, he asks the same exact question that he did last time. How many loaves do you have? So Jesus always starts with what we have. And God, no matter what you're praying for, God will start with your effort. Though it's inadequate, he will start with your effort, and then he will exercise his gracious power. God will work through you, not just apart from you. You won't be in the audience. You will be on the stage, in action. How many loaves do you have? And so, in this case, they have seven and a few fish. And again, Jesus breaks the loaves and gives them. The disciples take it on out, and there were only seven loaves, but he keeps breaking them, and he keeps giving them, and he keeps giving them, and he keeps giving them, and they give them out, and everyone eats and is completely satisfied. And they pick up the leftovers. And again, the leftovers, seven baskets full, the leftovers exceed the initial supply. It's another multiplication miracle. Then Jesus sends the crowd away. And now, the Pharisees come, and so they cross, and they go over into this region of Dalmanutha, verse 11. The Pharisees come seeking a sign. We've just had some signs. I mean, they weren't there, but the news is out. But they come seeking a sign, and Jesus says, no sign, no sign. No signs for those who won't believe. No signs for those who are not coming in faith, saying, I believe, help my unbelief. No signs for those who say, this is ridiculous. Jesus can't be what he claims to be. No signs for them. But two signs, two multiplication miracles for the disciples. Jesus comes to strengthen those who want to believe and to give blind eyes to those who refuse to believe. And so if you say that this Bible supernatural Jesus stuff, you've got to prove it to me. I'd like a sign. You can't expect Jesus to come crawling on his hands and knees to you saying, please, please, please believe. Jesus gives us many opportunities, many signs, many words, many people. Jesus' power is manifest. It's clearly seen in creation, being witnessed by all that he has made. And it's witnessed by our conscience, this moral guide, this moral compass, that we know there is a difference between right and wrong. If we won't believe, Jesus says, I give you no further sign. Believe what I have clearly demonstrated to you. But let's move on. So then Jesus gets into the boat with his disciples. And we're told that they'd forgotten to bring bread. They're feeling guilty about it. So it's on their minds. And Jesus reflects on his conversation with the Pharisees, and he warns them of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod, meaning he warns them of the teaching which opposes Jesus and which is laced with contagious unbelief. But the disciples didn't get it. They didn't get what leaven meant. And when they hear leaven, they just feel guilty. You know, we forgot to bring bread. And hey, Peter, you were supposed to bring the bread. No, it was you. Whatever, here we are. What are we going to do? We're not going to be able to eat. What is going to happen? And here Jesus is subtly reminding us about our failure to bring bread. Verse 17, and Jesus, aware of this, says, why in the world? Why are we talking? Why are we even talking about the fact that we didn't bring bread? And he embarks on a series of questions, and we have a whole list of questions here. And so Jesus probes. Now notice, he doesn't proclaim. He never gives them the answers to any of these questions because the answers are so obvious. He don't need to. So Jesus probes by means of these questions. Don't you yet perceive or understand? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, don't you hear? And don't you remember the two miracles? Now, when we had five loaves and we had to feed 5,000, how many leftovers did we have? And they answer him, 12 big old baskets. And when we had seven loaves and we had to feed 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? Seven. Do you not yet understand? All of these questions hammer home the same point. It focuses on this question, don't you understand? He starts this series of questions. Do you not yet perceive or understand? He ends the series of questions. Do you not yet understand? It refers back to Mark 6:52, where they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves. But he never says. He never says what they should understand. Clearly, he views it as blindingly obvious. So the question is, what does Jesus expect us to understand? The answer is who Jesus is. Or more specifically, first of all, to understand that Jesus can. Jesus can. We need to understand that Jesus can. If Jesus can take five loaves and feed 5,000, and have way more leftovers than what he started with, what does this say about who Jesus is? He's more than a man. He's God. And there's no limit to his power. Jesus can. Jesus is not confined by what is impossible to us. Jesus is not confined by what is scientifically demonstrable as not able to be done, as inconceivable. Jesus can. That's the intrigue of the disciples' question in chapter 8 and verse 4. How can one feed these people? We can't. Jesus can. That's why, having seen Jesus multiply 5 loaves, when Jesus gets into the boat and the wind stops, that's why the disciples should have understood that it was all because Jesus is there and Jesus can. That's why, when the disciples were fussing about forgetting bread, Jesus says, "This is preposterous. I am Jesus. I can multiply loaves, so don't worry about the fact that you forgot to bring bread. We're not going to go hungry." Jesus can. Now, Jesus isn't scolding them or shaming them, but he does ask piercing questions designed to make them think. "Don't you understand? Reflect on what you saw. What does this mean about who I am? What should you take away from this?" Jesus can. But there's one more lesson. Not only is Jesus able to help, but he is willing to help, for Jesus cares. Chapter 6, verse 34, in the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, it says, "When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things." He saw the crowd, and he recognized what was going on in their hearts, where they were really at. They were like sheep without a shepherd. His response, he began to teach them many things because he recognized their ignorance. He recognized their lack of understanding. That's why he taught them many things. He recognized their helplessness, sheep. He recognized their confusion and lack of direction and vulnerability, sheep without a shepherd. He had compassion. He cared enough to intervene. Though he was weary, though he was wishing for rest, Jesus cared about their spiritual, emotional, intellectual needs. Jesus cares. Or the feeding of the 4,000, chapter 8, verse 2. Jesus says, "I have compassion on the crowd. They've been here 3 days, they have nothing to eat." They were hungry, they were vulnerable to fainting, and Jesus cared about their physical needs, their bodies. Jesus cares. Don't you understand? Understand what? Who Jesus is. Jesus can, and Jesus cares. Well, let me ask you some questions. Do you understand who Jesus is? You've heard these sketches from history where Jesus crashes through the barrier of impossible, performing miracles, demonstrating in 3D living color that he is God. And maybe Jesus has done some unexpected things, some surprising things, some miracles in your life, and you've seen it. And you say, "How could this have happened? I didn't deserve this." Jesus expects you, too, to think and to reflect and to realize, to understand, and not just to say Jesus is God, but for these lessons of who Jesus is, to that Jesus can and that Jesus cares, but for these lessons to become so embedded in your thinking, so integrated into your life, that it changes how you think, how you react to the events of life. So like when Jesus gets into the boat In the storm, Jesus expected them to say, well, of course, Jesus is God. Like the disciples in the windstorm, like the disciples when they forgot bread. We don't have to worry about facing a journey without a lunch, because Jesus can, and Jesus cares. Well, I don't know where you're at. Are you afraid? Are you anxious? Are you concerned about your finances? Are you concerned about your future? Are you concerned about your friends? Are you concerned if God will ever give you a husband or wife? Are you concerned that what if I take Jesus for my everything? I'm going to have to let go of my security. I'm going to have to let go of my old friends. I'm going to have to let go of my old life. Don't you understand who Jesus is? Jesus can take care of you, and Jesus cares for you. I offer you Jesus. Let's pray.